ask an interest in your prayers as we look into the Scripture this morning. As I write the title on the board, if you will, turn with me over to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to meditate and study this morning on verses 11 to 15. Title of the message this morning is The Stature of the Fullness of Christ. And we've talked about misspellings just a little bit. Fullness in the Scripture is spelled with one L. But if you spell it in your, you young folks, when you're writing papers, you better spell it with two L's, because that's a more acceptable way. I wrote it like it is in the Scripture this morning, lest there was any question. So we'll begin in Ephesians chapter 4. Ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word this morning. The 11th verse, it said, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So it's our desire this morning to look into this passage of Scripture. We begin here, he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And there's a lot of different ideas and teachings on who is it that can be in the ministry. Now, what qualifies someone to be in the ministry? How does someone become a minister? There are some, and there are a lot of groups that say, well, first, you need to go to seminary. And my question is, what seminary did Peter, James, and John go to? You see, the Scripture says that people looked on them and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That is the qualifier of those that minister the Word of God this morning, are those that have been with Jesus. Because we can go to all the seminaries, and I'm not saying there's not a place to learn, there's a place to study. There is. It is important to study. But there are many times people go to seminaries and they come out with the stamp of who's running that seminary. You're a Baptist, you're a Pentecostal, you're a Jehovah's Witness, you're a Baptist, all of the different denominations, you're a Presbyterian, and they have been marked by their theology based upon that group. I don't want to have the mark of Babylon this morning, but it says He gave. God was the one that gives the gifts this morning. It is God that calls people to the ministry. It is not done by appointment. And every time I think about committee, I think about Brother Verlin. But he talked a lot about committee. Someone is not put in the ministry by committee. Someone is not called to be a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher by appointment or by vote of the congregation. There is a place for a congregation to give approval for who is the pastor, but not the gift or calling of the pastor. Understand there's the difference. It is God that places members in the body as it pleases who? As it pleases Him. And so it is not about going to seminary. It is not about going through a process or approval of man. It is God that places people in the body. It is the Spirit of the Lord that calls. And the greatest qualification is to know Jesus Christ, to know Him and be intimate with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and live as Christ, that God can use you effectively in the body of Christ. God is the giver of all gifts and all callings. It is not by personal decision either. It's not they say, well, I think I would like to be an evangelist. Does anybody here want to be an evangelist? Does anybody here want to be a pastor? Maybe someone wants to be an apostle. Do you realize that that has not come about by personal decision, by thinking, well, this is what I want to do? It is God that gives the gifts. It is God that places us in the body as it pleases Him. And that's backed up in 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then he asked a question. Are all apostles? What's the answer to that? Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of governments? Do all have the gift of tongues? You see, the answer to all of those are no. There's a lot of people that teach, well, but you better have this. But are all apostles? No. Do all have the divine gift of tongues, the ability to speak in a human language as it was on the day of Pentecost? Do all have that gift? The answer is no to all of those things. But it is God that gives the gifts. It is the Spirit of the Lord that gives the gifts and places the members in the body as it pleases Him. Now, there are diversities of gifts, the Scripture says, but there is the same Spirit. So all of the gifts that God places in the body of Christ should be working together. The gifts of the Lord are not in competition with each other. You see, it's not that the gift of apostleship should be in competition with the gift of the evangelist. It's not that someone that has a gift of teaching or a gift of helps or a gift of governments or a gift of miracles is in competition to see who can come out on top. There is not a hierarchy in the church, in God's church, which is the church of God. We are appointed and led by the Holy Spirit. We are qualified by the Holy Spirit, and it is not by man, nor is it by our own personal decision. The decision of our part comes in to submitting and answering to the call of God. Well, there are various gifts of ministry, and they were given for the proper operation and functioning of the church. That is the reason. Now, here in this passage, he said he gave some apostles. And some might ask, what is an apostle? An apostle is not just something of the past. An apostle, by definition, is one who is sent. That is an apostle. One that is sent out. It would be very commensurate with one who is a missionary, one who is a church planter, one that is sent by God to go and take the message to new places. Today, a lot of times, people say they might be a missionary, but many times, that call is the call of an apostle. He gave the call of apostleship, and he still is giving that today. He said he gave some apostles and some prophets. Prophets, the first thing that many times comes to our mind is one that foretells future events. But if you study the word out in the Greek in the New Testament, that word prophet also means and is similarly used one who speaks under the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, one who preaches. One who teaches, one who preaches divinely inspired by God, that's what a prophet is. One evangelist, he gave some evangelists. What is an evangelist? there's a messenger. An evangelist is a messenger of good tidings. And in a lot of times in our common usage of the word, an evangelist is one that calls. There's a big difference between, and we'll get to pastor, but there's a big difference between an evangelist and a pastor or a teacher. An evangelist is one who is calling people to something. There's a call to salvation. They're taking the good news of salvation to people. And you can see there's a lot of crossover in some of these gifts. But there is a call to salvation, a call to repentance, a call to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There's a call to holiness. That's an evangelist. A pastor means a shepherd. A shepherd's heart is very different than an evangelist's heart. And a pastor's heart is very different than that of an apostle. Now, God gives multiple gifts. The Lord gives multiple gifts. There are some people who are apostles and pastors and evangelists, and there are some that have one. They are an evangelist. You try to have an evangelist fill the place of a pastor, and I'll tell you, it doesn't always go real good. Because there's a different call, there's a different gift. Someone that is an apostle, there's a burden to go and do and plant. But see, Paul planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Do you see how those were important to go together? I've seen people get out of their gifts. He said teachers. He gave teachers. Teachers are there to instruct. It's there for study. Have you ever seen someone that thought, well, and again, there is a crossover of gifts. There are some people who literally have a gift of teaching. They have a gift of apostleship. They have a gift of evangelism, okay? But sometimes God doesn't always give 10 gifts or 5 gifts, right? Some people he gives one to. Use it effectively, whatever God has called you to. And I'm not talking about all of the gifts this morning because we're staying primarily in this passage. But the gift of ministry, if you've ever seen some say, well, I'm an evangelist or I'm a pastor, and then they try to teach. And there should be an aptness to teach. So there's a balance here. But there is a different style and method of teaching the Word of God as opposed to preaching the Word of God. There's a great difference. And I've seen people that they were good, blessed evangelists or blessed maybe in their preaching, and then you listen to them teaching, you're kind of scratching your head thinking, brother, you need to stick with preaching and leave the teaching to someone that has a gift for it. And there are sometimes people that have a real gift of teaching and expounding the Word of God in its intricacies, and they think, well, I've been accepted as a teacher, and the Lord's really blessed me, so I think I ought to be a preacher. I think I ought to get up and preach the Word, and maybe I ought to be an evangelist now. They miss their call. Just because someone has been blessed with teaching does not mean that they have been called. I've been in countries before that there was this mentality that you started out as a teacher, and you are a teacher for a while, and then you become an evangelist. And after you've been an evangelist for a while, then you kind of graduate, and then you can be a pastor. That's not the way that it's taught in the Scripture. There are very unique gifts that God gives in the Word of God, but they were given by God, not by our decision or by what I want to be or what I want to do. So then, with that in mind, speak thinking of the ministry, because he was addressing the ministry, the gift of ministry here. He gave the reason or the purpose that he placed these gifts in the body. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It was part of the plan of God for there to be gifts of ministry in the body of Christ. There is a very independent mentality that some people begin to develop that I don't need someone to preach to me. I don't need someone to tell me what to do. I don't need to be in service. I don't need to have a pastor. I don't need to have someone teach me. God and I, we've got our own thing going. God and I have, we've got connection. Folks, we all need to have personal connection with God. But the other side of that is part of the plan of God was for there to be those that were divinely gifted and divinely inspired to preach His word and teach His word and take His word for our edification. And if we separate ourselves from those gifts that God has placed, we are going to suffer because of it. I think often, sometimes, of when the first time I went to Ghana, it was the first trip I'd ever taken there, and I didn't know if I'd ever come back. I actually have a visa to go back soon, and I'm not sure when that soon is going to be, but I got a visa to go back, and I've been different times, but I remember telling them, say, I don't know. They were wanting me to come and live there. And they were saying, you come and live. And they were encouraging me because the last missionary from the U.S. that went to this particular location died. They were encouraging me. And they said, if you die, we'll bury you right here. Well, thank the Lord. Well, I'm still here. But they told me, I told them, I said, I don't know what the Lord has in mind. And I said, I don't know when I'll be back. I don't know if I'll be back. But I know that the Spirit of the Lord will lead you in truth. I have that confidence. And you know what they told me? Because, see, I was right in what I told them, wasn't I? The Holy Spirit will lead us. But they also told me something that was true, too. Their response to me was, yes, but do you remember the Ethiopian in the chariot? And Philip expounded the word of God to them. The Spirit of the Lord does move and He does lead and He does work. But God also uses people. He uses people to teach and expound and preach His word. And I've remembered that. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we might just say, well, I'll just stay in my corner and the Holy Spirit will be faithful. But folks, in the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit, He uses people. So whether it's in the gifts of ministry or in other gifts, do you know that I got here this morning and there are a few people here working on cleaning the chapel? That didn't happen by itself. They could have stayed in bed and said, the Spirit of the Lord will take care of it. But do you know that the Lord uses people? And He does that with His word as well. And so that's what Paul was telling the Ephesians. He said, God is the one that gave these gifts of ministry, but it was for a purpose. It was for the perfecting of the saints. It was part of the plan of God. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, the job of a minister, whether it's a pastor or teacher or evangelist or whatever it might be, their purpose is to teach the Word of God, to preach the Word of God. It's not there to put out their own opinions. It's not there to try to gain a following after themselves, as many ministries do. It should always be to preach the Word of God, to be instant, in season, out of season, whether you feel like it or not, to be moved by the Holy Spirit and lift up the Word and point people to Jesus Christ. I will say any ministry or any church that points people to themselves to amass a following after themselves is a false ministry and a false church. Our job in the ministry is to always point people back to Jesus Christ because I have no salvation to extend to anybody, but I can point them to the one that can save them. For the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting here means to put in order. For the perfecting of the saints, it means to make complete, to give instruction for growth in love, in faith, in holiness. Because if we don't know the Word of God, and maybe we even have a head knowledge, when someone comes and teaches it or preaches it, it comes before us again to challenge us, to grow. But if we were all perfect this morning, would there be any avenue to grow? Would there be any need to grow? What do you perfect? You perfect that which is not perfect. Is that not right? We perfect that which is not perfect. All of us are human, and it is God's purpose and desire for us to be perfected. It's this process of perfecting that the Lord is trying to do in our lives to show me the areas that I need to draw closer to Him, to reveal the places that maybe I didn't have the love that I should have had, a place that I need to grow in my faith, a place that I need to grow in holiness, that I can be more like Christ. But this is the reason He gave the ministry. It was for our perfection. It was so we could be challenged and know what God's will is, and that we could be inspired, yes, in love, but sometimes in correction, sometimes in judgment, but always for the purpose that we would draw closer to God. And that is the purpose of the ministry this morning. The work of the ministry, those various offices that Paul named out, it was for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I know that there have been ministries that have twisted this and taken this through pride and self-exaltation, but it doesn't change the reality of what the truth is. For those that are filling those offices and those places in the body of Christ, Paul wrote in Hebrews, in the 13th chapter, he said to obey them that have the rule over you, for they and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Do you understand what he's talking about here? The Lord gave ministry. He placed gifts of ministry in the body of Christ. And he said, in essence, show honor to them. Obey them. You know, if I start calling you up, and I've been in a congregation where they did this. It wasn't someone that we have close fellowship with. But they actually called at a graduation party and let everybody know you all need to go to bed early because there's service in the morning. If I call you up Saturday night and said I want you in bed by 8 o'clock, I think we've got a problem. I think we've got man rule. I think someone's getting too big for their britches when a pastor starts doing that. You understand? But when he says obey them that have the rule over you, what is it they're telling you to do? What is the ministry? What instruction are they given? It should always be instruction that you can search the Word of God just like the Bereans and see whether this is so. So when you go and you submit to them, it is you are actually submitting to God. Because now I'm not wanting just to, I want to have to do what Brother Michael says, but when Brother Michael tells me something and it's from the Word of God, now it's God speaking. Now I'm accountable to God. And yes, there is to be a respect to those that minister to us. Because, you know, those that minister are human too. Those that teach, those that preach, there's a perfecting that God is still doing on them too. Well, that means then that we say, well, who is this? This is the carpenter's son. They did it with Jesus, and yet he had a divine call and unction from God. When the Lord gives someone a gift, and it is evidenced by the moving of the Holy Spirit, there is to be an honor and a respect that is given to that individual because of God's call on their life. And I think that in America, we've gotten so independent, and people have abused this so much, people shy away from that because we've seen pastors and ministers that get arrogant and lifted up and man rule. But we're talking about the balance of the Scripture here in this place. So he went on to say it was for the purpose of the edifying of the body of Christ. It wasn't to make life difficult. But there's a reason God gave. And then he went on to say this in verse 13, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that is the reason that God placed the gifts in the body, and it is His desire for all of us this morning that we come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That all of us, that our challenge and our goal should be, I want to be more like Jesus. And that is the function of the ministry. to show us those things. But if the ministry is afraid to preach the whole truth, you know what's going to happen? If the ministry coddles us, and the world is full of pastors and ministers that are doing this, they're preaching a message of health and wealth. If you will follow Jesus, you will be wealthy. If you will follow Jesus, you'll get the promotion. If you follow Jesus, you will have this and you will have that. And they don't preach the cross. There is a cross to take up to follow Jesus. But there's blessings that come with it. But the preaching and the teaching that is done, it is till we come to the unity of the faith, which means maybe we're not there yet. How are we ever going to come to the unity of the faith if we're not opening up our heart to listen to the faith being preached? There are those, we're all at different places in our walk with God this morning. We are all at different places. And there are some that maybe just have a little bit of understanding of Jesus. And there might be others that have a lot of understanding of the Word of God. But do you realize the Lord is wanting us all to grow in the faith? And we want to be careful. And we started having some of this discussion Wednesday night. If you all weren't here Wednesday night, you miss it. Wednesday night, the Lord blesses us here. If we're not open to the dealings of the Lord, it means we're not going to be growing like He wants us to. And there are people that are not to the fullness of faith, we should never be judgmental and cut them off and say, oh, well, look how they're living. Well, they're not saved. If they love the Lord and have repented of their sin and are living without their sin, there may be areas of the faith that they don't understand yet. The Lord is not cutting them off, but the Lord is wanting to draw them that they could have more understanding how to be more like Jesus. And what about us? Are we going to sit here this morning and say we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing? Does anybody here not have any needs spiritually? Say, Lord, I want to have more. I want to come to the fullness of faith too. Lord, I want you to perfect me more. And about the time you think you've got things spiritually or pretty much under control, you know what's going to happen? The Lord's going to send some hornets out in your life to reveal something else in your life that shows you need some more perfecting. That's nothing to be discouraged about. That's the Lord's love to us. But the purpose is that we would be more like Jesus till we come to the unity of the faith. If there is not a standard of truth this morning, there's chaos. If there's not a standard of truth, there's chaos. The standard of truth is the Word of God. And that's why it's important that we preach the whole Word. Because if I look and say, well, Brother Justin, if I preach about this, he might not like that, and I don't want to offend him, and I don't want him to stop coming to service, so we're not going to talk about this passage. Who's going to be the loser then? So then when we come to services, when we go locally from the pastor, when we go to camp meetings, when we hear the Word of God being expounded, we need to not wear our fillings on our sleeves, folks, and think, well, I had a sister come to me one time and said, well, you were preaching when you said that, you looked at me. Did you think that I needed that? And I said, well, sister, I look at everybody when I preach. So if I look at you and I say something, you think, oh, I think he has me on his mind. I've got all of you on my mind. And I've got me on my mind because, Lord, I want to be more like you. And I'm not using the pulpit to throw stones. But sometimes people, when the Spirit of the Lord deals with them, it's easier to say, well, I think the minister is, so I can blame the minister rather than saying, Lord, you showed me a need in my life. And so then we want to recognize if we stop teaching the whole truth, what do we have to measure to? What do we have to grow to this morning if we don't hear the whole truth? It's those things that show us where we're lacking is God's love to show us areas that we can step up and draw closer to Him. And I may not be there yet. I'm not there yet, let me just say. But I know where there is. And about the time I think I've got there, the Lord's going to show me more. Say, Michael, here's some places I want you to be more like me. We're not there. See, there's some perfecting. But I'm thankful we know where there is. And by that, we know where to turn to. And so when the Lord reveals things to us, when it comes through the ministry, saints, let's open up our hearts. Let's not be offended by it, but let's thank God for it. Because it's there for our edification, that we could draw closer to Him. So then it's like when Jesus asked some that went away from Him. They walked away because they didn't want to hear the whole truth. And He turned to His disciples and said, "Will you two go away?" And they said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." That is our purpose in this congregation. That is my prayer. And I trust it's our desire that this would be a place that the whole Word of God would have right of way and be preached. That we not water it down, that we not add to it. See, that's just as dangerous. That we not add to it, but that we not take away from it for the purpose that we would not stay babies spiritually. See, this is what He said, that we come to the fullness, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that is talking about growing up. That's what this is talking about. The stature, the maturity of the fullness of Christ. And as we bring this message to a conclusion in just a few minutes, this is the purpose of what this is all about. That the Lord, that God wants us to be like His Son, Jesus. That we read in the Scripture of what it means to serve the Lord, to live, not to measure ourselves by ourselves, to say, "Well, I think I'm a little bit more spiritual than them over there, and if I look over here, I may not be quite that spiritual, so I don't want to look that way, but I want," and we start measuring ourselves, and we feel justified or condemned by who we're looking at. That's not wise. We need to get Christ in view this morning. I've known many people that have... I had a brother. He was a minister in a... I guess it's not relative where he went to church, where he pastored. But they had a lot of different beliefs. And he, when he started coming to service with us many years ago, he was amazed. He said, they did certain things to demonstrate the moving of the Spirit among them, and then they'd go home and be carnal. And he didn't understand the working of daily grace in their life. And he was amazed by the grace of God. I was amazed at his amazement. That there's this grace, that it's not just coming to church and putting on a show. Do we have a show this morning? Bring in the drums and the band and get some colored lights and we could have a show. But when you go home, how are we living? There are people today that are dancing and shouting and having entertainment. And it's like going to a rock concert to go to a lot of churches today. I came across, and listening to some music, I came across a very conservative, holiness-looking church, and I watched it, how they were conducting themselves, and I thought, that is not indecently in order. They were just getting out of control in their behaviors. And I thought, Lord, help them. How are they living when they go home? How are they living when they go home? You see, our purpose for service this morning is that we can be challenged, not that, I went and had a good time at service, but that we can come and hear the Word of God to go home challenged, that, Lord, I want to be more like You. So I can go home, and maybe when I don't have the love or the joy, or maybe I'm struggling with something, that I can say, Lord, I want to be more like You in my life. And if I'm not there, that's my goal. And if I fall short of it, I don't want to throw my hands up, but I'm going to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to grow. See, growing is a process. And so is coming into the stature of the fullness of Christ. So may I ask you this morning, are you like Jesus? I trust in a lot of areas you are. But there are some areas in all of our lives, saints, that we can become more like Him. In the words that we speak, in the things that we do, in the places we go, in our priorities, in how we conduct ourselves, that, Lord, I want to be like You, not in part, not to justify myself because I'm doing this right and this right and that right, but I want to come to the fullness, in completeness, Lord. I want the whole package, and I want to keep growing and drawing closer to the Lord. May the church rise this morning. May the church rise to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that's going to come about by uncompromised, unwatered down teaching and preaching and allowing the Spirit of the Lord to move among us. And for this purpose, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. See, this is what the truth is. It's in love. Yes, there's judgment and correction in it sometimes, but it's in love for the purpose of drawing us unto Him, that we may grow up. Anybody need to grow up a little bit more? Have you ever looked at how someone is behaving and you thought, I just wish they'd just grow up? I've seen some old people that need to grow up, saints. The Lord wants all of us to grow. He doesn't want us to stay babies, that we may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, that we can stop being tossed back and forth. Well, I heard there's this group over here. There's this doctrine over there. There's something. I know in whom my faith is fixed this morning. I know where there is. I know where it is. I don't want to keep being tossed to and fro, but I want to take this there. I want to take what's here, and I want to start measuring my life to this, and I want to become more like Jesus Christ. And I want to share this, and then we'll conclude this message by the help of the Lord. Actually, I don't want to conclude. I want it to keep going. I want you to take it home with you, and I want it to keep growing because there's a whole lot more that the Spirit has for us. But over in the 12th chapter of Corinthians where he talked about the gifts, and I read some of that, he gave gifts, apostles and prophets and teachers and gifts of healing and gift of tongues and gift of this and that. Do you know how he concluded that, how that passage concluded? 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." God gave the gifts of ministry for a reason, and we need them working in our midst today. And yet, covet earnestly the gifts, but I show unto you a more excellent way. And then it goes into the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and what is that? "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm becoming as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I give my body to be burned, sacrifice, and I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." This is coming in to the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Love. May the Lord bless you all this morning that we would grow hereby. Amen.